looked at the triumphal entry and the resurrection, and today just have a couple more verses to travel in James over the next couple of weeks and move on from there. A Brooklyn cafe is charging $12 for a cup of Ethiopian coffee. $12 a cup. They haven't come up with a name for it yet, so they opened it up to the Week magazine readers, and here are a few of the suggestions. Mocha Dinero, Brokefest Blend, Exceso, Cachingachino, Gold Bean Sacks, Cafe, I'll Lay It Away, and my personal favorite, Costa Latte. Now, the worst thing that could happen to you is for you to taste that coffee and like it, because you can't afford to like that stuff. James tells us the Lord is offering us physical, emotional, and relational healing, but it also comes at a cost. There are those who are going to think, now that's more than I want to spend. But first, before we launch into our message today, I want you to just take a moment and let this sink in. The Lord is offering to us physical, emotional, and relational healing. It may take a lifetime, but God is doing something in your life. And I just want you to be open to that this morning, and whatever direction, whatever bump He would give you this morning in that direction that He chooses. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Lord, we just come to you this morning and we bring your word with us. And I've studied this. I've mused over it. And I'm still unpacking stuff every time I look back at these verses. And I understand this is too big for me. This is too large for us. We're just asking you to take this cake and make a slice out of it that we can handle this morning. But may that slice be effective. May it be challenging. May it be life-giving. May it show us what we need to see today. I'm very aware, I'm acutely aware, Lord God, that each one of us is a work. Each of us is a package, and we've all got our stuff that we're dealing with right now. There are different kinds of fears and excitements and adventures that are on our plate. And we just happen to be in this room together right now, and it's not by happenstance, it's by design. And I pray that you would take this particular word and make it fit, tailor fit for each one in the room this morning, that we can go home and just say, that was amazing. God, you spoke my language today. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the previous verse, James says, is any one of you in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. So trouble, pray, happy, sing. Sick, call for the elders of the church, have them anoint you with oil, and the prayer prayed in faith will make the sick person well. The first group of costs that are associated with us getting better, and whether that's physical, emotional, related, you having problems with somebody, that all fits into today's message. The first group of costs that we're going to have to spend if we want to be better is you must confess you have a problem. You have to say that. You have to come to grips with, I have an issue that I'm dealing with. Now, this probably won't be too hard for you. Maybe you've had something pressing in on you all morning. Maybe even during worship, it was hard for you to focus on the Lord because you keep thinking of, this is what's going on in my life right now. What am I going to do about this? What's going to happen next? And so that's that. Great. You came with an issue this morning. Now, if you don't have an issue, there's coffee out in the foyer. You can go ahead and get an early start on that. But if you've got something, if you can think of something, Lord, I would love for this to be better. Where I work, somebody I work with, a relationship at home, neighborhood, career, whatever it might be, Lord, I have an issue. So just maybe take a minute. Everybody get an issue. Close your eyes for a minute. Get an issue. Maybe it's you, maybe it's somebody you live with. And let's just ask God to help us with that today. Maybe he's not going to eliminate that today, but at least get a direction that it's going to be better from now on. So you must confess you got an issue, you got a problem, and if it's physical, that you are sick. And then secondly, you must bother others to do something for you. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. They will do this for you. There are some people who have no problem with this. That's who they are. They love to tell other people about their issues. And they love to get everybody in line. There's one particular gentleman I have in my life right now. He should have his own staff. In fact, I'm pretty sure he's convinced the whole world is his staff. He has no problem calling at any moment of the day or night. The most trivial things. He's often asking me about things. I have no idea why he's talking to me about what, you know, he has. And there are a few people who they love to talk about their issue or their problem. They love to be the center of attention. They love to have other people doing things for them. But I happen to believe that's a minuscule group in society. I think that the most of us prefer helping others to asking for help ourselves. In fact, I know a number of you serve out of pain and need yourself. We should be helping you. Instead, you're helping us or you're helping other people. And many of us prefer to suffer in silence than to ask somebody else for a need. How many of us are guilty of, you came to church with a significant need, but you just didn't tell anybody. You're not letting it out at all. You know God's going to take care of it and so on. But there's an extra bump to that. I could blame it on pride. And maybe there's some pride involved in that. But I don't know that it's pride. And maybe you could help me out on that. But there's just, I don't want to be a bother to somebody else. I'm here to serve, not to be served. That's another one of those roadblocks for us. So for a lot of us, there's a cost associated with obeying these biblical commands. I don't want to be a bother to somebody else. I don't want them going out of their way for me. And so we try to bargain with Jesus. Okay, I know what the word says that I'm supposed to do, but how about if you want to heal me, Lord, why don't you just heal me over here in my quiet little corner? I'll pray, I'll believe, I'll do all that other stuff. If you want to heal me, please do it where I'm sitting. I don't want to go up in front. I don't want to do that. Do it my way, Lord. I don't want to bother anybody, so I'll just moan softly in the corner And if somebody hears me moaning and they want to pray for me, fine. But let's not make this a thing. There are those who actually have an attitude. They're waiting for somebody to ask them what's wrong with them. Or if there is anything wrong, if they really cared, then they would probe a little bit. And here's one of our problems. We're all in our own little world. We try not to be. We try to reach out, but we all have stuff. And sometimes we miss the most obvious. We got a notice in the mail saying that they were going to change out our electric meter. And my wife said, "Where's our electric meter?" I said, "I don't know. I suppose it's outside. Isn't it the one in the..." "No, that's our water meter." "Oh, what about the big..." "Oh, no, that's our gas meter." "Where's the electric meter?" "I don't know. I'm going to look next time I go out and find the electric meter." I was in the house, out of the house 10 times over the next week. "Hey, did you..." I didn't think to look. I would tell myself, "Now, the first thing I'm going to do when I go out is I'm going to look for that electric meter." And I couldn't... Our electric meter is the first thing you see when you pull in our drive, when you walk up. It's there. Well, I just walk past it, like it's not there. And I hate to say this, but we're that way with each other so often. Because we got in mind what we're going to do and where we're going to be and so on and so on. And it's not that we don't love you. It's just that we're so self-centered by nature, so focused on other things. You need to ask for prayer when you need it. One of the things that Barb and I have learned through all this doctoring stuff and her online friends in chronic illness, they teach you have to advocate for yourself because nobody else is going to. If you have an advocate, say your husband or a child goes in with a parent that's doctoring or so on, if you have somebody to advocate for you, that's awesome. But the patient must advocate for themselves. Don't just sit in a hospital bed. They're going to give you a medicine you know that you're allergic to, you know, scream and do whatever you have to do to be noticed and such. And life is a little bit like that too. You belong here. You're part of the body. You are a member of God's society. You count in God's eyes and you count in the church's heart, and if not, you should. And so every once in a while, you have to make a little noise. You have to rattle the cage. You have to say, "Hey, I have a need. Can you help me with this?" Don't allow that the devil to quiet you down and to push you down and to give you all those lines of excuses as to why you should not be stepping forward, why you should not be asking for help at a given moment. "Would you please pray for me? I'm sick." If you're anything like me, you pretty much have to be running 103 degree temperature, have puked on something, and just dog tired before you say, "Okay, I think maybe I'm coming down with something." And then we have that whole theology we just came through as a church, you know, for the longest time. Confess it, possess it. You don't want to tell anybody you're sick because then you claimed it. Oh, if you think you feel bad now, wait till you tell somebody you're sick. And then all the wrath of God cometh down upon a thou because, you know, wrong confession. That kind of rot. "Would you please help me? Would you please remember me in prayer because I've got this thing going on." There's a breaking down of pride whenever we ask for help, and I think that's really what the Lord is driving at this morning. You see, James loves to teach in layers. What he's taught earlier in the book, he expounds on later. That's why we spent three different messages on the tongue. He mentioned it in three different chapters, and it went a little deeper each time he brought it up again. He introduces subjects, and then he hits them pretty hard later on. And already in the book, he taught us that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And sometimes our pride is very well disguised. And so how wonderful that he planted that seed and he said, okay, look for a place where you can be humble. And so we get in our minds, okay, this is what humility is. I'll hold the door for somebody else. I'll pick up a piece of garbage if I see it on the floor. I'll do this, I'll do that. I'll let somebody out when we're in a line of traffic. I'll be humble, humble, humble. But then he says to us, call for the elders of the church. I don't want to do that. It's not me. I'll hold the door for the elders of the church. That's what I'd like to do. And all of us love to pray for somebody who has a need, and we love to help somebody and be of encouragement and so on. But I think very, 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 very few of us want to be that person who needs to have prayer, who needs to be encouraged. We would much rather just suffer in silence. And let me put in a word there for the people who are blabbermouths and who are going on about their situation and so on and so forth. That may be exactly what they need to do. I'm working through Viktor Frankl's book, The Man's Search for Significance. And Viktor was a prisoner in a concentration camp for 3 years, suffered greatly in many different ways. And one of the things he said, upon release of the prisoners, they found, first of all, they couldn't stop eating. Though they got sick and, you know, they hadn't had food for so long, he said, it's amazing what a person can consume in 24 hours. But they would just hump, because you might, just sit, but they couldn't stop eating. And second thing was they couldn't quit talking. Because in their confinement, in their suffering, they were suppressed from talking to one another. Just uttering something could get you a blow from the butt end of a soldier's gun. They just talked and talked and talked. And I think that one of the things that is wrong with our society, one of the things that's wrong with this setup where I'm talking to you while you're zoning out in and out for a half hour or so, is everybody needs to talk. You've got stuff you're going through, you've got issues that are going on. But you have to go to work right now, and you have to be careful what you say over here, and you know, so on and so forth. And how few of us have a really good friend that we can sit down with, and they hear what we're saying without judgment, without, oh, you jerk, you know, you should be thankful for that. You should, you know, to really hear what you're going through without throwing pleads at them, without, you know, just all that stuff. There is healing. I don't understand it, but there's healing in being able to talk about something. And few of us take advantage of that. Few of us get to doing that. And I think, you know, what the message is all about this morning is the church ought to be a place where we can come and we could be real with one another. And I could say, you know what, this is what's going on. And one of the sad things we've done in church is we put judgments on different things. And you know, okay, so a Christian shouldn't drink, you know, so, well, we don't want anybody. But maybe we've got a few people that love the Lord, but they've got a problem with drinking. And so they could come in and they could say, you know what, I got a problem with this right now. You know, unclean. Or, you know what, I know we look like the perfect marriage, but we're really having a struggle right now. And I'm not sure we're going to make it to our next anniversary. You know, divorce is something that the church, you know. Do we have any human beings in the house today? We got stuff that's going on. We have struggles at work. You know, some days, you know, you're flying high like an eagle. And other days, you just feel like gum on the bottom of somebody's shoe. It's like one guy said, sometimes you're the windshield and sometimes you're the fly, you know. And you're done. And wouldn't it be nice? And that's an ebb and a flow for all of us. Wouldn't it be nice if those who were strong in the body for today, you know, just having, they didn't know what I was talking about, issues. What issues? You know, it's a beautiful day. If they could minister and be there for the ones who are just like, you know what, I got this going on, and so on. So when you got something going on, call an elder from the church. Talk to them. Have them anoint you with oil if that's what's appropriate for your issue. Often in the church, we associate wellness with spirituality and illness with a lack of faith. That is bogus theology, and it has to die. If we were all well and happy, we wouldn't need church. We would have already arrived. Even in Jesus' day, the disciples wanted to know, who sinned that this guy was born blind? And Jesus said, nobody sinned. It wasn't his parents, it wasn't him. This happened so that God could be glorified. What? God did this? Well, God allowed this, if that's easier language for you to digest. But yes, so that in the end, he might be glorified and people might come to the Lord. Illness can cause people to draw closer to God. Now, illness can cause people to be more isolated. Illness can cause people to withdraw. But we have a need so that we seek a cure. And in that seeking, in that breaking, humility develops. And it's good for the soul. Both coping and healing can be a strong witness to others as to the reality of God's presence in your life. We often think, okay, well, let's say that I lost a leg in an accident, and then everybody saw me, you know, going around on one leg, and then God gave me a brand new leg, and then I could say, woohoo, look what God did. That's great. That's a great miracle. But what if I lost my leg in an accident and God is teaching me how to cope? And other people notice, you know what, you seem to have come through that so well. There seems to be a quality of soul that I don't think I would have. And you're able to testify to them, well, Jesus, I didn't think I could do this either, and I know I can't. But God has been showing me, and God has been walking with me, and God has been walking me through it. When they say, I don't know how they do it, we can respond, Jesus. There's never been a moment when you are not who you say you are. That's a line in a contemporary Christian song. There's never been a moment when you are not who you say you are. Yours forever, it don't matter what I'm going through. There's never been a moment I was not loved by you. We come forward, we get anointed with oil, we pray for the sick, we talk to one another, and then we trust what the Lord is going to do for us. The Lord sees things from an eternal perspective. He's willing to allow us to suffer if it will bring us eternal life, if it will teach us valuable things, and if it will draw others to Him. Joseph suffered as a slave and later as a prisoner so that he might rescue the members of his family. Jesus suffered humiliation and pain in order to bring healing and salvation for us. Are you in? Jesus, use me, and, oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work I can do. And I know when we're praying that kind of prayer, we're thinking success. We're thinking strength. We're thinking wealth that we can share. But sometimes he uses us like he used a Job. Sometimes he uses us like he used Jesus. And it's through our breaking. It's through our suffering. So suffering is not unusual for a Christian. Suffering is expected for a believer. There will be tests. There will be valleys. There will be obstacles. And it's not in our overcoming of those obstacles as much as in our wrestling with them, that God is glorified. And as we wrestle with those things, God does not expect us to wrestle alone. And yet the enemy keeps pressing us down in that little cubicle. You should not speak because you have been through an experience that the church does not sanction. You should not speak because Christians say if you had enough faith, you wouldn't be going through this. You should not, you should not, you should not. And so what happens is we're all in our little cubicle, even though we gather together and we put on this front as though we're just fine. We're having a wonderful time. When that nothing could be further from the truth, perhaps, for you today. And shouldn't there be a place? Shouldn't there be a space? Shouldn't there be an opportunity for us to share with one another? And say, would you pray for me? Verse 14 again, is anyone among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Jesus is telling us that the healing, James is telling us the healing that Jesus offers is very holistic. It encompasses physical healing. It encompasses forgiveness of sin, the dealing with guilt. And it encompasses confession of our sins, the healing of relationships as well. So James is painting a picture of people getting together and being real with one another. On a scale of places in your life, where would the church fit as far as you being real, the real you, comfortable and open and accepted? Where would that fit? And I don't know that we can do that just on a Sunday morning. I'm with the young couples during Sunday school. We got together, we started talking about, okay, what are we going to do with the class? Leroy and Wanda used to teach that class, and they're not here anymore, so we just got together, we just started talking, and okay, where do you want to go from here? I spent a couple weeks with them, and one of the fellows said, I kind of like what we've been doing the last couple weeks, and I said, well, I love this kind of stuff. But you don't want some old guy hanging out here with you guys. No, 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 they said, that's okay. And so we've been doing it ever since. And the class has been growing every week. And we have people talking about, I was raised in a broken home. And you know, this is how my mom and my dad, and this is the relationships we've been having, and those kinds of things. And it's really been a sweet and a powerful kind of a get-together. And something's been gnawing on my brain for the last little while. I thought, gee, wouldn't it be great if we had a group for those poor parents that went through the split, that, you know, that kind of a thing. And so I was kind of thinking, well, maybe we could do a class or have a group for single again people. I know it's a large group to put widows in with divorced and so on, but there's some commonalities there as well. And if everybody could just come to church and unpack a little bit of what they're going through. Not everybody, I'm sure, would take advantage of that, but, you know, and maybe we could have a group for chronically ill people, and maybe we could have a group, and could have a group, maybe we could have a, you know, a guys group. We go blow something up together, you know, and, or shoot something. That'd just be awesome. But you know what I'm saying? Is this really us? You know, we get all dressed up and perfumed and so on. Do you have some burning things that you would really like to discuss with somebody else? And maybe it doesn't have to be formal church. Maybe, you know, just a couple of friends getting together and breaking it down. Maybe it can be done online as well as in person, but you have a need, so you call somebody. Because what I found in my life is whenever I just get so full, I can't handle it anymore, and it starts to eke out, I find out there are other people who are going through things just like I am. I'm just like everybody else my age, as a song put it. We've always treated praying for other people in such a sterile environment. You know, all right, come forward. We're going to anoint you with just a line up here, you know. I've often thought, wouldn't it be easier with a squirt gun? Just, you know. And or maybe we just hose you down. In, you don't even have to come up anymore. We just get you all there. You know, so everybody covered in oil. Okay, now let's pray. And, you know, there's... Pastor doesn't maybe even know the person. Certain, I wouldn't want you to have to tell me what your need is. You know, it can be, you know, one of those unspoken. I could get my gloves on here, and then we're gonna pray for you, that kind of thing. But James seems to be painting a completely different picture here. He seems to be breaking us down, and making us more vulnerable to one another. And in the understanding, I have stuff, you have stuff, and we need each other. Becoming vulnerable, trusting others. So you have to be careful who you call, I suppose. But allowing the Lord to search your heart, confessing anything that isn't right. It's my mom's birthday today. I think she's 89 today. And she told me a story when she was younger. She was raised Roman Catholic. And so Friday night was confessional. And she worried the whole way to church she couldn't think of anything to confess that she'd done wrong. But she had to have something for confessional. So she lied in confessional about having needed forgiveness for stealing her neighbor's peaches, which I think was probably helpful in several different ways, because then the next week she could go back and confess, I lied in confessional about stealing peaches because I couldn't think of anything. You know, and I think a lot of us, when we have a problem, we think it is our fault. And it must be our fault somewhere. You know, I must have done something. What did I do? Now, that's a good question, you know, because if there is something we did, we need to get that taken care of. But a lot of times, I think we're like my 9-year-old mother in confessional and can't really think. I'm reading through Job right now, and Job keeps defending himself. And I keep thinking, who could defend themselves? We're all, you know, guilty of something or other. But the guy just who maintains his integrity the whole way through, you know, and God kind of affirms that. You know, buddy, you did pretty good here. And, I just have this guilt complex, you know, that is my default system. And, oh, well, I must have, and I've been treated better than I deserve anyway, and so on and so forth. And, you know, we have trouble breaking through that kind of stuff. But the truth of the matter is, God loves us. God does forgive us when we ask for forgiveness. We are clean before Him. And it's not our fault a lot of the time when we're sick or we have trouble or we're dealing with an issue. It's just the obstacle of the day. It's just the jigsaw puzzle we have to work on this week. It's just the trial that has been handed to us that we need to navigate and overcome. So a lot of us rack our brains trying to figure out, what have I done wrong that I need to confess in order to be healed? And worse, we have people who think it's their job to probe. Well, what dark horses do you have in your closet? What do you need to confess? I don't know. I'm trying, you know. There are a slew of people who are afraid to go to church because they are ill and will be judged. I've listened as my wife has talked to some of these people online. People ask, how you doing? Because they want a good report. And when you can't give them a good report, there is that look of disappointment in their eyes. And these friends cannot face that look of disappointment any longer. And all these suggestions they get. Well, have you tried breathing? Yeah. Well, you know, there's a special kind of water, you know. If you add this little white powder to it, it'll, okay. But you got to do it, you know, while you hold your nose and stand on one foot. And, you know, church has gone from being a field hospital to an exclusive club for the wealthy and healthy. Certainly, if there's something you need to confess, I believe God would make that clear, don't you? Have you never had the experience where God would not let you go until you made a phone call or got something right? And he's pretty good at that stuff. So this is another cost receiving from God. Humbly confess your sins when you have them. Why the anointing oil? Why oil? It symbolizes the Holy Spirit. You don't always have to anoint with people for people to be healed. You look at the New Testament, Jesus used many different means. Although I was surprised in Mark, while I was studying this past week, when Jesus sent his 12 out 2 by 2, he sent them out and had them anoint with oil. I hadn't noticed that before, but you know, it kind of sparked my interest knowing that we were coming to today's message. So, you know, simple obedience, we anoint with oil. And we pray in faith. When you have difficulty, get some elders to pray for you that you know. Listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. An elder is a respected, mature member of your church. Pastors, yes, but not necessarily pastors. Verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I want to be a righteous person, so that my prayers are powerful and effective. Lord, so if I have something to confess, God, show me what that is, so that I can be made right. The path to righteousness leads through confession, repentance, and humility. Praying together often begins with talking together about whatever the Lord has laid on our hearts. I've noticed this. We have a prayer group on Sunday mornings before service. And we did it again this morning, to my delight. But before we start praying, and time is limited, and we cherish our time of prayer with God. It's very precious to us. But before we start, we usually talk about what God has been speaking to each one of us, you know, during the week. And it's usually some kind of a confessional, like, well, you know what, the Lord has been showing me, I don't have a great enough burden for the lost. Or God has been showing me that I'm in too much of a hurry all the time, or God has been showing me this or that. And it's not necessarily, you know, I've got this terrible thing going on in my life, I want to murder my boss. It's you know, just usually my relationship with God is getting tweaked all week long, and he's speaking, and I'm responding. And then when we get together as a group, we hear other people, they're being tweaked too, and that tweaks us, is where, you know, I do that too. And you know what, we need to have a greater expectation when we come into church, expecting what God is going to do. And you know, it does things for us when we hear from other people what they're going through. We can identify with that, and it's somehow, I don't understand. I don't get this whole thing of venting. I don't know why it makes me feel better when I tell you how miserable something is in my life, but it makes me feel better. And I don't know why it makes me feel even better when I find out you're more miserable than I am. Oh, yes, all right. You understand. Life stinks. Hallelujah. This is great. Loved it. You know, let's get together and do this more often. Or, you know, we're always making plans to go see a nice movie, go do this and that, to entertain. Well, we should make plans, and man, we're just going to make each other so miserable. I am just, bleh, you know, and oh, yeah, you think that, bleh. Oh, wow, that's great. Thank you. And but you know, that's part of a brother and sister, and that's part of church, that's part of family. It's what we do. We find ourselves sharing with one another the corrections God has laid on us through the week. And we also share the afterglow of that. Here's what I had, but here's what God's doing in that. Here's what God's showing me through that. And so we not only share the disease, we share the cure. We share the medicine that God has laid on us. We allow ourselves and our faults to become exposed as we pray. And I think the more developed a church becomes, the more we move away from prayer. Honest, together prayer. This is what I need. We become all that more plastic. We dress up more. We become more elegant. We want to maintain some kind of a persona. But when we have been broken down, when we discuss our faults, our needs, that opens something up that is richer and deeper than outward appearance. You know what? I lost my wife last year, and it still burns inside my soul. You know what? This happened, and I don't know how to get over it. This morning, I'd be happy to anoint with oil and pray. But, and you know, that's here, and if you'd like to be anointed, I'd be happy to do that. But I thought I'd be bold this morning and maybe scare you so much you never come back to church. Or maybe we break through a veil together and you wouldn't have to sit so far away from where I am when you come in. Maybe we could be friends. Maybe we could be life partners more than just members of the same church. Maybe we could do more than just put an offering in the plate and make sure the electric still stays on for next week. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you could go home different. Maybe you could go home a little lighter. Maybe you could have an experience here this morning, not just with God, but with somebody else here that would be meaningful. So I'm going to ask you to stand up with me, please.